Temps de création radiophonique. Là où l'écho écoute son propre souvenir. Vingt-huit minutes avec Radia. Show 10-23. World, can you hear me? From Radio Arts 106 and Bethlehem. Voices from Gaza.
Hello, this is a show from Radia. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners. Are you up for it?
You know, answering this question is not easy, but it's not hard either, because I live inside this nightmare, inside this genocide that is never seen in a human history. But how can I describe a life that it doesn't connect to what life should be? How can we explain what we live through every day to the world? Actually, I was waiting for someone to ask me this, and I wanted with all my heart to share my voice with the world. We're living through a genocide with a random, unjustified killing in the most horrible ways. My people are killed by bullets, bombs, and missiles. They die from the hunger and thirsty, from the heat and the cold. They die burned, they die from the lack of medicine and care. They die crushed in their own homes, surrounded by their memories and belongings. As a citizen from the north in Gaza, completely cut off from the south, from the rest of the sector, and from the world. We have suffered for more than a year from a harsh blockade, from continuous displacement, from losing family, friends, neighbors, and our homes and our safety. Now I live with 10 family members in a small house that is not ours, for sure, all sleeping on the floor in one room for more than a year. Actually, sometimes I miss just having a mirror to look in and brush my teeth. You know, how simplest things have turned into dreams. I don't know. Because of starvation policy by Israel for a year and over, we live on canned beans and bread. And when something new becomes available, it disappears quickly. So our health has declined, and we've gone through times when we couldn't even find a kilo of flour. And also we shared just 1 liter of water for the entire family during some days. And during this ongoing wars, our lives as a Gazan have become centered around a bag that holds only 2 pieces of clothing. We don't have the luxury to carry much because we are always ready to move and leave again. For the past year, we have had no electricity and no cooking gas. We have burned wood and using plastic to make fire to cook our food. They have taken us 100 years back. It's hard to find the words to describe this suffering. They escape me even as I try to speak. I have been separated from my family since the first week of the war. My home was destroyed, and I'm not even allowed to see its ruins as it's now under the control of the Israeli army. Actually, I had a life, I had a job, safe, warm home, like all of my people. And even though we have lived under siege for 20 years in Gaza Strip and witnessed many wars, nothing we have experienced compares to this. There are no words to describe what we are living through. We live each day, unsure if we will see the next. And what the Israelis are doing is not just killing us, starving or displacing us. It is an attempt to break our spirit, to take life out from the Palestinian heart. But we are still here, holding on, defeating them by our resilience. We are here to show the world that we are still alive, despite everything surrounding us. We will keep fighting until Palestine will be free.
Hello, my name is Ahmed Abamsha. I'm a music teacher and music therapist. I was living in Beit Hanun, the north of Gaza. I was have a wonderful life before this war. I was a music teacher in AISG, the International American Schools, and I was a guitar teacher in Edward Said, and a guitar player in TV band. After this war, I lose everything. I was have a recording studio. It destroyed. We received a message at 3 o'clock in the morning that leave immediately. We leave without shoes, without anything. After 5 minutes of leaving, they destroy all the city. So we displaced many times from Beit Hanun to Jabalia, from Jabalia to Nasser, from Nasser to Khan Yunis, then to Rafah, then back to Khan Yunis. I have 5 boys. You know, we are suffering a lot from this situation. So I try to help kids to make a music therapy with them. Now we are in Khan Yunis, in Mawasi Khan Yunis. It's hot in the middle of the day, and the night it's very cold. And we don't have food. We don't have water. Just we filled water from far away and bring it back with hands. All the people there in my camp, they put their tents and sit there. They are waiting for hope to end this war. There is no medicine. There is no food. You know, since 1 year, we eat only one time meat, I think, because the border is closed and no food coming to Gaza. And each day we think about what we want to eat. Only we have cans, like beans cans, and we tired from this food. We have many diseases. All the people have many diseases, from the skin diseases, I think. There's no medicine here. There's no, oh my God, I can't explain the situation, because it has a lot of problem to talk about it. Before 2 months, my kids was ill. I spent 3 days walking under the sun to find some medicine. And thank God, finally I found them. Like Trofen. We don't have Trofen. We don't have paracetamol. We don't have antibiotics. When I try to make some music classes and music therapy, the people there laugh at me. They said to me, "You are crazy. We need food. We need clothes. We need some tents." I told them, "No, I can heal kids. I can make them to forget the war. I can make them to feel safe with me," and I did it. In this situation, it's not easy to live your life like before, but we tried. We have many problems. You know, some nights we are sleeping without food because we don't have flour. And now the big problem here in Khan Yunis and in South Gaza, there's no flour, there's no bread. So it's not easy to find the bread. So I try to find some rice, to find something to eat, you know. Each day we open our eyes and look up. It's a tent. I was dreaming I was living in my house, and I open my eyes, I'm intent. You know, each day you have a program in your mind, like when I wake up, like I want to go find some food, and I want to go to find some bread, and each day you have a program of living, of how to survive. You know, I'm not disappointed, but you know, since 1 year, a lot of people talks about these things, and they try to stop this, but they can't. You know, and many voices in all the world, because this world is, I can't express my feeling, but no one can hear. No government can hear. They want to do what they want to do. But there is hope. I have a hope that it will end soon. Each day we are living here, we throw it in the trash. We don't want to remember it because we hope that the next day is better. So since 1 year, I told my kids and my colleagues and my neighbors, next day will be better. And nothing changes. You know, what is make us strong, really? The kids. Because they don't have a school. They don't have a regular life, like they carry water. They sell in the markets, because many kids, they are orphaned from this war, and they lose their fathers, their mothers, their brothers, and this is the war, you know, and all the boys and the kids, small kids, like we try to make them safe, to help them, and this is my message. I think some days I think that it's my job, really, in this war. So that's why I'm strong, and I'm continuing my message and helping people. There's a lot of kids in my sessions. They don't know anything about their families. Are they alive? Are they dead? Because no connection with South Gaza and North Gaza. They cut the way.
Hello, this is Ghada Al-Kurd, a freelance journalist from Gaza Strip. I'm originally from North Gaza, specifically from Jabalia town. Since the first week of the war against Gaza, I had to flee from North Gaza to the south of Gaza Valley upon the Israeli evacuation orders to leave North Gaza at that time. I've been displaced many times through this year. Firstly, I was displaced in the middle area. Then I had to flee to Khan Yunis and then to Rafah after the Israeli ground invasion in last May to Rafah city. I had to flee for another time to Deir el-Balah in the middle area of Gaza Strip. Most of the people who had to flee from their homes and places in North Gaza or in Rafah or in Khan Yunis or even from the eastern areas of Gaza Strip, they are now living inside Al-Mawasi area west of Gaza Strip. Those people, they are suffering from dire and difficult circumstances, as they are lacking the food, water, medical supplies, safe places. It has been claimed as this area, I mean the Al-Mawasi area, as a safe zone, but it has been targeted many times by the Israeli forces and resulted in many casualties and fatalities between the civilians people. Most of them are women and children. Israel is implementing the policy of collective punishment for more than 2 million people of Gaza Strip. which means that they are controlling the crossings of Gaza. In North Gaza, there is two crossing in Erez and Zikim, which allow some humanitarian aids to enter to Gaza, to North Gaza. But in South Gaza, there is one crossing, which is Kerem Shalom crossing, the Israeli one, which allows some humanitarian aids to enter for more than 1.5 million in South Gaza. The Gaza Strip is suffering from the lack and shortage of electricity. It's been one year now, and Gaza Strip has no electricity, no fuel, no electricity station is operating. So people are living inside dark, without electricity, without lights, and they are depending on some solar power. Regarding the water, also it's unhealthy, it's all polluted. People and children specifically, they are suffering from several diseases, from allergy, from itching, from hepatitis A and other diseases, which is only appeared in inside this war. It's more than 1 year, and there is Palestinian people who are living inside tents, shelters, even inside buildings. They depending on humanitarian aids, and they are depending on food which is being distributed for them by international NGOs or from donors from outside. People only can eat one meal during one night because they are not working, they don't have income, they don't have cash money to buy other vegetables or meat or chicken from local markets. Even for the local markets, the local production in Gaza Strip now is zero. This is the percentage of the local production. It means that anything we can import from outside. And the Israeli does not allow many of products to enter to Gaza. The destruction of the infrastructure of Gaza Strip led to spread of many diseases in Gaza and between displaced people, between children, women who lost their babies during the pregnancy or even after they delivered their babies because of the lack of food, the babies and children, they lost their lives as a result of malnutrition, the availability of healthy or good food is not a good sign or indicator for pregnant or children. Schools, hospitals, other shelters, they were targeted by the Israelis and resulted in many casualties between the civilians. There is no safe place in Gaza for the displaced people, even who had to flee from north to south. The situation in north of Gaza, it's very difficult and dangerous. People, they don't have other place to go. North Gaza, they are forcing them to leave to south of Gaza, which is unsafe. It's being targeted many times, the south of Gaza. And even in shelters or inside tents, there is no enough place for people to come. People, they don't have, they are waiting or they were patient in north of Gaza to hunger, to famine. They couldn't find the flour, they couldn't find the good food, they couldn't find anything to eat or to feed their children. The high percentage of famine in north of Gaza is indicator to the international community to do some intervention to stop this genocide against the people. It's only 400,000 people, they still in north Gaza, and they are living under difficult circumstances.
Hi, my name is Salwa Ammar, a 16-year-old girl from Gaza. And now, after the Israeli occupation forced us to leave our city, I currently live in Deir al-Balah. Let me tell you about our situation here as displaced people and it's also the situation for all Gazan's people. First of all, water, which is the most important thing to stay alive. We've been drinking unfiltered water this entire year, which has caused so many diseases for our families. Second of all, we have the worst internet connection, and this is a big issue. Let me tell you why. As a student who's now studying, but not in schools because it was bombed, but studying online, I need a good connection. And I am in my most important year, my senior year of high school. Thirdly, living in a tent. Living in a tent is the worst thing ever. You feel cold every minute. You feel scared every second. What if someone broke into your tent while sleeping? I miss my house. I miss my mom's cook smell in the house. I miss my younger siblings fighting in the living room. And I miss my dad trying to be the judge and tell them to calm down. I miss my dad. I want to go home. And when we think it won't get worse, it gets worse and worse. Winter is coming. Being cold is not fun. I tried it last year and I don't want to try it again this year also. And now, let me tell you my story. I was always asking myself, how all these kids, women, and men full of blood, after getting bombed with one or two or even more muscle tracks the Israeli occupation has thrown up on them, until it was time to know the answer. On Monday, the 16th of October, 9 p.m., the Israeli occupation bombed the house that my family and I were staying at. And of course, they didn't warn us to leave the house or anything from what they say on social media. They bombed us with four muzzle strikes. I knew the answer of my question after seeing my little sister covered with blood. At this moment, I started touching her face, her burnt hair, and I started crying. While she was saying, "Selwa, please, hold me, hold my hands, I can't walk," because of her injury. In this day, I realized that one rocket could kill, as it killed my dad, my uncles, my grandfather, some of my favorite cousins, and a very good people. It could burn your body, as it burned my left leg, and also my brother's leg, which caused interruption in one of his arteries. And of course, there is no doubt that it destroys your house, as it has done to my house and many, many houses in Palestine.
I'm Ali. I'm a 29-year-old doctor working at Al-Aqsa Emergency Department in Deir el-Balah. I and my family live in Al-Nusayrat camp in the middle of Gaza. I'm recording this in the day 390 after 13 months of genocide. Because someone just suggested that my voice would make a difference, I hope. So, I have been living my entire life deprived of all my human rights. You know that, right? My basic human rights, the first of which is my right to self-determination. I sit here tired and depressed and I overthink things, while death is staring at me and at my family, the same death that has visited every house and every street. Well, you know, as a doctor, if someone had asked me 5 years ago, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? I would have said that I see myself as a good doctor in a good work environment. But here I am living in a genocide that all of humanity is witnessing, and I have been experiencing the death and suffering of my people. And all of us can see the forces of evil are still uploading our death and celebrating it, broadcast live on screens. And the world is watching silently, and some are shamelessly enjoying it. I just wanted to become a doctor, as other doctors, because when I was young, I wish to have the ability to help others and to save lives. But now I'm a doctor living in and witnessing a genocide, and I can't even save lives. Well, common sense, logical, bombing hospitals, schools and shelters and tents has become as normal as drinking a sip of water for them and to the silenced world. Happening daily without even any consequences or even condemnation. They just can kill, burn, rape, starve and torture all of us. And that's why, that's because the world has allowed them to do so. I just want to say that the hospitals shouldn't be a war zone and shouldn't be targeted. People and patients come to the hospital to get medical treatments, that are not even available, and moreover, they are being targeted and they are being killed inside the hospital. You know, our chances of survival are diminishing day after day. Bombing after bombing. We love life just as you love it. We are humans just as you are. So I'm not enjoying saying that, but we don't want to die and we can't just wait for death. We are tired of escaping death and chasing after life, and our souls are just suffocating every day and every minute. But if we must die, let us die now and let it be done. I assume we would never know, because nothing is more horrific than what has already happened. What's the world waiting for to move and to do something to rise up against the criminals and to save us and to save our lives? This costs us everything, and it does not need much. Just continuous terrorism from a bloody occupier and a few Nazi superpowers. As for life here, it needs miracles. It needs everything. And it needs the smart, successful, rich, faithful, steadfast, patient, confident, strong, fast, lucky, stubborn, dear, generous, and loving humans. In addition to all of that, it also needs the supernatural, the resistant to shocks, a human being resistant to oppression, suffocation, against hunger, against torture, against fractures, against anger, against pain, against sorrow, against diseases, against burning, against bullets, against missiles, against dog bites, against internationally prohibited and banned weapons, and lastly, against the feeling of betrayal. The sad thing is that what happened to us makes us unable to imagine a life in which there's some joy and peace. We don't easily believe that if we survive, we will be able to live safely, freely, happily, and comfortably ever again. What makes the matter much worse and more difficult is not that death is so close and so near to us, but that a decent life will be so difficult to achieve, and because it has become scarce even in dreams, life. As if we had never lived a normal life before, as if our life had been just wars and death, as if this was our only fate. I'm tired, as if we were dead and lived again and suffered all kinds of pain and died again and again and again every day in this hell of life, as if this is it forever, as if this genocide would never end, and as if this is the only way out. I'm angry and I want to scream, I really want to scream, and I want all of this to end in the blink of an eye, and for this to die, and for us to start treating the sick and heal the wounded as decent human beings, and for my people to get a reasonable amount of rest, physical therapy for their tired bodies, and psychological therapy for their broken hearts. World, can you hear me? Can you see me? Is that so much to ask for? Salam.
ثلاثة فاز بيقولوا ممتاز هو بيقول دير كاز مين فاز مش فارقة المهم توصل موجة من المغرب للشرق شغل بنفس واحد يرمي 16 زلح ونزل على البيت ما بطلعش سمعت الدرام كيف بلف السم لما يتف هلا همه بسبلف كيف عف عنطيزي هالجواب لما يسألوا ليش ما بيغني بالانجليزي مش وطني حكي موجه تقنية توجع روح الجسر ترجع رب طبط ونافع تجربة وتشجع طوشة تتفزع دفاتر تتمزع عالشباب تتوزع عندك مشكلة معاه انت حلها مشكلته هلا متحف التسامح فوق مملة الوضع خطر من تالت سطر كلام حلو زي القطر كربولنا هالسطل انعدها كم من رطل 453 جرام وبرجع حلو الفضل بيسرق أصوات وبيجمع سمو روبن هود الموسيقى بيسمع بدو ينتف النوفو ريش نزل عالمدينة وصار يلفلف عال بدو يعيش مش عاجبه بيقفف بيكفيش كشف كرتو مساعد عفريش بجيبته فيش بريزة ما في خطة واضحة بالجلة الغريزة مفترس فريسة بينهرس هريسة نفسه بس ينتخب رئيسة الشبع الشام بدو زمزم بس ما حينام في الغابة بلاش يتاكل هم هم حاول يطلع المحيط اللملم استفرغ لما اكتشف انه الدم دم 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 دم
Apprends-moi à polir mon cœur, à le raboter de tous ses élans. Apprends-moi à ciseler mon cœur au couteau de l'indifférence, pour en faire une pierre glaciale, taillée dans la cuirasse. Et je t'apprendrai à broder ton cœur de fil fragile, à le tricoter avec de la laine de vulnérabilité. Je t'apprendrai à inciser ton cœur avec une lame tremblante. Que de ses fêlures puisse s'infiltrer la tendresse venue d'ailleurs. Mais nous ne sommes pas sculpteurs de cœur, ni tailleurs de patience. Nous sommes les fossoyeurs éclairés. À la truelle, on a labouré la terre de nos doutes. Et maintenant, on cultive en raisonner. Voilà, les semis de notre histoire sont enfouis, nos maladresses sont en jachère, dans les champs infertiles.
غريبة وفي الغربة وحدة قاسية ووحشة موجعة غير أنها تجعلني أفكر أبدا بوطن سحري لا أعرفه وتملأ أحلامي بأشباح أرض قصية ما رأتها
Pas de post-it, pas de retard, pas de caresse, pas de maison, pas de bague, pas de lunettes de toilette relevées, pas de routine, pas d'épaule, pas de reproche, pas de réconfort, pas de « à ce soir », pas de collègues, pas de contraintes, pas de salaire, pas de lit chaud, pas de plan B, pas de plan A, pas de dette, pas d'espoir, pas de compromis, pas de petit plat, pas de backup, pas de regret. Des poils de chat, des bols de céréales nocturnes, des heures scrollées, des amis, des piles de livres, du silence, des clopes au balcon, de la vaisselle qui s'entasse, des notifications, des frôlements qui résonnent, des chansons des pieds froids, de l'ivresse, du vide à ne pas remplir, de la solitude à apprivoiser. Je te désire en silence. Je te caresse la nuque avec mes doigts délicatement posés sur mes genoux. Je te respire le cou dans lequel je ne susurre rien. Je te désire dans la distance entre nos mains qui ne se rapproche pas. Je te frôle de toute mon imagination. Je me blottis dans les bras que tu n'ouvres pas. Je te désire dans le silence où s'échappe ton souffle que j'entends haletant. Je te désire dans la couverture à silence gênant que nous portons pour ne pas nous découvrir du bruit de nos mots. Je te désire en silence et je te souris dans le brouhaha.
C'était Trois poésies sonores de Nina Elbois. Dans les champs infertiles, Not to do list, dans le bruit de mes désirs. Et la musique de Mukata, Camilla Joubran, Al Barahem et Aosan. Le bateau penche. Un souvenir roule au fond de la cale. La terre n'est plus que vrombissement gras, vapeur grise, nappe et moulure clinquante. La promesse d'une graine, la promesse d'un chrysanthème tiendra, peut-être.
C'est l'heure de la mousson sur Jet FM. Dans la première saison de la mousson, je vous ai invité à voyager à travers mon journal intime, entre les paysages sonores du Vietnam et les histoires d'amour et d'adelphité qui ont rythmé mon retour aux sources. Cette nouvelle saison vous emmène au cœur des récits oubliés et des expérimentations sonores. En explorant les échos d'archives personnelles et collectives, plongé dans un univers où les fantômes du passé se mêlent au son du présent. La mousson s'écoute mieux au casque, là où chaque note devient un dialogue entre génération et identité. Ce mois-ci, le musée d'art de Nantes inaugure son exposition sur l'esthétique transatlantique, où Anne-Lyne Drocourt et moi avons eu la chance de proposer une sieste sonore entre cale et pont. Laissez-nous vous emmener dans les coulisses de nos répétitions, là où le paquebot devient objet sonore, là où l'on ferme les yeux pour mieux voir les tableaux.
Thank you. Normandie. Commandant René Conil. Commandant adjoint Pierre Toulouse. Le Havre, Saint-Fulton, New York. Départ du mercredi 24 juillet 1935.
Dans le cadre des émissions consacrées à 20 ans d'opérette moderne, la radiodiffusion française présente en différé et réalisée par Jules Crestier, Normandie, opérette en deux actes de Henri de Coin, lyrique de André Ornaise, musique de Paul Misraki, avec la distribution suivante, Jim Duvalex, Ralph Robert Daunier, John Numès fils, le pasteur Gaston Ray, Roland Dominique Tirmont, Petit Louis René Lénetti, Georges et l'officier Aimé Donia, Victor Raymond Lio, Catherine Gabrielle Ristori, Betty Janice Hubert, Barbara Rosine Bretti, Margaret Huguette Boulanger, textes intermédiaires Jean Mourier, mise en ordre musicale Anissette François, soliste, orchestre Radio Lille et chœur, sous la direction de Marcel Carrière. Nous sommes en 1936 sur le bateau Normandie qui fait route du Havre à New York.
répondre à des questions de l'officier. C'est Betty qui a reconnu le jeune homme.
Ah, c'est lui. Mais qu'est-ce qu'elle a?
C'est lui.
Qui?
Mais celui qu'elle aime, l'homme de l'ascenseur.
Profondeur maximum de fer, c'est donc de 15 à 30 mètres. dans les rivières types atlantiques dépasse rarement une cadaison aérienne de 9,50 mètres. Dîner du dimanche 11 septembre 1949. La coupe de flou couvre la maximale de l'orage sous spreader. Le poissonnerie chantasse 40 tonnes. Et profitera le parmesan. Hauteur maximale du spreader au-dessus du quai. Le filet de sol Île-de-France, 30 mètres. La suprême de volaille renoir. Course du spreader au-dessous de la rive du quai. Les asperges vertes, sauce mousseline. Portée maximale à partir du rail avant, 40 mètres. Le médaillon de foie gras en gelée au champagne à partir du quai, 37,70 mètres. Le cœur de l'étue Washington, sur l'arrière du rail, arrière, 15 mètres. La pêche givrée Malibran. Cette surface est ainsi distribuée. Voie de circulation, la corbeille de friandises, 40 mètres carrés, tous les fruits. Dîner. 1180 containers, EQ 20 sur un plan 40 000 mètres carrés. Petit pois de Nantes à la française, endive au Madère. Aubergine frite portugaise. 2400 pilaf, unité de charge à la turque. 85 000 mètres carrés. Pommes purées à la crème. Pommes d'Ao au four. Pommes au bacon. Pommes pour neuf. Col de cygne, spaghetti, napolitaine, 1 fois 55, des barons de pré salé, d'arrange, piqué et rôti, moins 2 fois 40 heures. Grillade, 10 minutes.
Je vous annonce qu'une coupe a été conçue pour le confort et le bien-être.
Jambon,
de la salle. Le chef va vous en faire des tables pour le déjeuner. C'est dans ce
décor. Entrecoupe de rumineuse qui est notre bataille.
Tous les navires à l'envers sont fermés.
Jambon d'Yorc. 9. Jambon d'Yorc.
La salle de bourriche qui peut accueillir 15 ou 100 passagers.
Coupe de bœuf pour le bien-être. La
première place.
La langue
grande
qui
est
sèche. C'est actuellement la forme, c'est l'espoir au décor. Gigot d'Arnie, à la montre. Ligne directe, bande de vue, panier générateur d'automatique. Export, 48, 0, 0, 18.
Rendez-vous chaque jeudi, une semaine sur deux, à midi sur JetFM et sur toutes les plateformes de podcast. Je suis XM et vous pouvez me retrouver sur Instagram @lamousson.podcast pour me raconter vos émotions. Merci au Musée d'art de Nantes pour cette sieste sonore à quatre mains avec Anne Lindrecourt, créatrice sonore aux oreilles sensibles. Nous vous avons proposé d'écouter une séance de répétition de traversée inédite du son, de la musique et de la voix. Une sieste immobile et aquatique qui convoque les mémoires de l'exil, les fantasmes du voyage en mer, les profondeurs de l'océan. Le podcast La Mousson est une création sonore entièrement bénévole qui met en son nos histoires et nos silences. Diffusé sur toutes les plateformes de podcast et à la radio sur JetFM. Vous pouvez soutenir cette création sur les réseaux sociaux ou avec des dons sur mon lien en bio. @lamousson.podcast. Les orages s'éclaircissent et c'est la fin de La Mousson. Rendez-vous dans deux semaines pour un autre épisode.
C'était le temps de création radiophonique. Rendez-vous tous les jeudis à midi ou à écouter en rediffusion les lundis soirs à 23h.